Good morning. Glad to see you here this morning. Let us begin by wishing all the moms a happy Mother's Day. Hope you have already had a good morning and continue to have a good day today. Before going on with the lesson, let me mention this. I mentioned this last week. I told RV I would mention it again. This One Night for Haiti, which is a fundraiser for a church in Haiti. There are some sign-up sheets out here. There are more flyers. This fundraiser will take place Thursday, May 28th at 6:30 p.m. in our fellowship hall. And so come and get a table and listen to a presentation on the work in Haiti and consider giving some money. That's what we're wanting to do is get some money for a church in Haiti to buy a piece of property, build a church building, and be a permanent presence. Here's the flyer. As you see, again, Thursday, May 28th at 6:30, we'll feed you, and then you'll give us a whole bunch of money. All right, that's how this will go. All right, so that's what the evening will hold. So May 28th, Thursday. Last week we talked about the image of God, how human beings are the image of God. God has appointed us to that task, but he has also just created us as his images. He says in Exodus 20, you know, what you should not do, Ten Commandments, what you should not do is make an idol of Yahweh or of anything else, because one of the reasons is God has already made his images in this world, and that's us. We human beings represent God in this world. We are his images. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and one of the main points, really the main point we want to think about is mothers are images of God. Mothers give us a picture of God, what God is like. You know, I'm sort of an expert on motherhood. I don't know if you knew that. I'm sort of an expert on motherhood. I have lived with mothers almost all my life. For my first 18 years, I lived with a mother, and she was a great mother. And for the last 11 years, I have also lived with a mother, and also a great mother. And so I'm sort of an expert on motherhood. Now, I have never been a mother, but I have been Mr. Mom. For a little period of time, not real long, but when we lived in Cincinnati, and Jody was working and I was going through school, there was a little time when I was, now Jody has taken that title away from me now, and we're both happy about that because she does a lot better at, the mom role than I do. But so today we celebrate motherhood, and moms give us an image of what God is like. Genesis 1:27 is a verse we looked at last week. Genesis 1:27 is that passage where God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make man in my image. And when he says man there, he means human beings, not just specifically males. And he even says, this is what it says in Genesis 1:27. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them, male and female. And what we see there, what is obvious in Genesis 1:27, is that God cannot be imaged by simply males. We have a lot of metaphors in the Bible for God, and a lot of those metaphors are masculine metaphors. You know, God is a father. And that's often in the Old Testament, and even more in the New Testament. God is a father, and we certainly want to affirm that metaphor for God. He is our father. And, you know, there are other metaphors for God. God is a warrior, and we would associate that more with men, a masculine type of metaphor. God is a farmer sometimes, and so that is a masculine type of metaphor. But we should not lose sight of the fact that there are also feminine metaphors used for God. And so sometimes God can be thought of as sort of a man. And when we are in our more philosophical moments, we know God doesn't have sex. God doesn't have gender. There's neither male nor female, you know, in God. And yet, when God creates people in his image, he makes them male and female, meaning both are images of God. And we often think, we often think of God as sort of a man sitting up in the clouds. And the Bible sometimes encourages us to think that way because of all these masculine metaphors used for God. Father, warrior, farmer, etc., etc. But again, we should not lose sight of the fact that there are also feminine metaphors used for God. And so what we really realize is that not just a man and not just a woman, but both of them are used as images of what God is like. Let me give you an example. Deuteronomy 32. Steve read for us from Deuteronomy 32 just a moment ago. But I want to read a little bit later in that chapter, Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. Look at this passage. You neglected the rock who begot you. Now that is a masculine metaphor, because it is fathers who beget children. But look at the next line. And forgot the God who gave you birth. It's women who give birth. And so in that second line of Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, God is represented as a woman giving birth to the nation of Israel. That's not the only time that happens. Sometimes in creation, God is represented as giving birth to creation. Look at Job 38. Job 38 is one of the speeches of God. You know, at the end of the book of Job, God himself responds to Job's questions and God speaks. And Job 38 is one of those places. And look at Job 38, verse 29. From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth? Do you see what God is doing? Obviously, the answer to that question is God. But the answer to that question is, it wasn't me. It's God. And what God is doing is he's representing himself as a woman giving birth to creation. He says, I gave birth. It was from my womb that creation came. I gave birth to the ice. I gave birth to the frost of heaven. God is picturing himself in woman imagery. That passage that Steve read for us from Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 through 14, talking about an eagle that gathers her little ones. God is saying, I'm like that. That's a picture of me taking care of Israel. I'm like that mother eagle gathering up her little ones and taking care of them. That's a picture of me. Look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I will be the same, and even to your graying years I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. God is saying in that passage that, first of all, Israel, nation of Israel, people of God, I, God, gave birth to you. Now, secondly, I am going to take care of you. Look at a few chapters later, chapter 49, verse 15. God says, this is Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Can a woman do that? Now, the expected reply is not likely, right? Not likely. Now, we like to, you know, come up with the exceptions to the rule, and, well, actually, you know, we have seen some women who do that, don't we? We have seen women who do forget about their kids, and sometimes they'll show up on CNN or on Fox News, and there's some trial going on, and so sometimes we like to come up with the exceptions. Well, you know, possibly a woman would actually not take care of her kids. You know, we have seen that. But the likelihood is, you know, 99 times out of 100, you would answer that question, absolutely not. Is a woman going to forget her kids? No. God doesn't ask the question, can a man forget his kids? Can a father forget his kids? Because unfortunately, the answer to that question is, well, yeah. Yeah, we see that a lot, actually. A father forgetting his kids. I mean, actually, we see that not too infrequently. I know, you know, the people that Mike works with in Decatur, I would guess almost all of them would be able to answer, can a father forget his kids? Almost all of them would say, absolutely, a father can forget his kids. Even if they grew up with the mom, probably they didn't grow up with the dad. Can a father forget his kids? Yeah, unfortunately, that happens a lot. But can a mother forget his kid, her kids? Almost never. You know, that's just not happening very frequently. Almost never is the answer to that question. Look what God says right after that. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mama forget her kids? Almost never. But then he says, even these may forget. You know, 99 times out of 100, the mama's not going to forget her kids. But even that one time out of 100, if she forgets her kids, that one time out of 100, look, I will not forget you. God is displaying himself as a mother, and not just any mother, but a good, a perfect mother, because a human mother might sometimes forget her kids, very rarely, but sometimes it might happen. But God says, I'm the kind of mother that's not going to do that. There are feminine metaphors for God. There are times in the Bible where God says, do you want to know what I am like? This is what I am like. I am like a mother taking care of her kids. If you want to understand my love for my people, you need to look at a mother with her kids. And that will give you some sort of insight into the character of God. If you want to understand my compassion, if you want to understand my faithfulness, if you want to understand my devotion to my people, what you need to do is look at a mother and see how she responds to her children. See, does that mother forget her kids? See, when they come to her with some sort of problem, how does that mother respond to her kids? And you will know then. You will have some insight into what I am like. Mothers are images of God. God says, I'm a God of compassion. You want to understand my character? My character is compassion. That's who I am. You remember that story in Exodus 33, famous story. Moses says to God, let me see your glory. God says, nah, you're not big enough for that. No man can see me and live. You don't know what you're asking for, Moses. And Moses, yeah, come on, God. And so God says, here's what I'll do. God says, here's what I'll do. You stand in the cleft of the rock, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my hand over your eyes so you can't see me. And then I'm going to pass by, and then I'll take my hand away, and you can see my back. How's that? You know, that's as good as it's going to get, Moses. That's as much as me as you can stand. And so that's what happens. In Exodus 34, they do that. And as God passes by Moses, he reveals his character to Moses. He says something to him. Exodus 34, verse 6. This is what it says. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, look at it, compassionate and gracious. The very first thing out of God's mouth is, Moses, this is who I am. my character trait, if you want to understand what kind of God I am, how I am distinguished from Baal, if you want to understand how I am distinguished, how I am different from Zeus and from Jupiter, you know, you're not going to describe Zeus as compassionate. There's not an ounce of compassion in Zeus or in Baal. They don't care about their people. If you want to understand my character and what makes me God and how I am different, I am compassionate. That gets repeated all throughout the Old Testament. We won't look at all the passages, but I'll read some verse references, if you want to look them up at some point. Joel 2:13, you know, God is gracious and compassionate. Deuteronomy 4:31, Nehemiah 9:17, God is a God of compassion. Where do we see examples of compassion in our world? If we want to understand the character of God, it helps to have some examples around us of people who emulate God. Where do we see examples of compassion? In our house, when a kid falls off a bike and scrapes the knee, or runs and trips and scrapes the knee, you know, we've had some of this in our house. Not too infrequently. Recently, we've had some scraping of the knee, and it's bleeding, and it's nasty down there. Who do you think our kids turn to? They might come in, they're crying, and you know, got blood and everything. They might come in, they might see me, and what are they going to, they're going to say, where's mama? All right. Because they know my advice to them, you know. I say things like, you know, what my football coach told me. I rub some dirt on it, you know. It's not bad. I just go out and play. It doesn't matter. You know. Jody will get the Band-Aids or a little doctor's bag, and she'll come. She never rubs dirt on their open wounds, you know, as if she knows more about medicine than my football coach. But, you know, she'll clean it. And, you know, pour the water on it, and she'll get that peroxide out, and the kid's like, don't do the peroxide. And we got to do the peroxide. We got to do it. Now, sometimes the kid resists enough that daddy has to come in and sort of hold him down and pour the peroxide on him. We've done that recently, too, haven't we, Josiah? Yeah. All right, but so sometimes daddy needs the help, but they're turning to mama, because mama is the one who's soft and caresses them and pours that water and cleans it up, and she's got some goop that she puts on a Band-Aid, and you know, she puts it on there real gently, and she'll give them 2 or 3 Band-Aids if it makes them feel better. And when they have bad dreams, you know, they wake up in the night. Sometimes I'll be the one, you know, sometimes I'm just laying in bed, you know, sometimes I don't sleep well, and I'll see him come into our room, and I'll say, hey, don't wake mama, you know, let me. And they'll tell me their bad dream. Okay, so crocodile is chasing you. Okay, all right, well, go back to bed. You know, it's okay. No crocodiles in here. But if they go to mama, they know, you know, they want to get to mama, mama's side of the bed, because if they get over there, mama will get up and she'll comfort them. And mama might even, you know, take them back to bed and lie down with them for just a little bit, caress them. If they want compassion, they know. Not that I'm completely devoid of compassion. You know, I try to, I'm painting myself in a bad light, aren't I? I'm not too bad of a guy, all right? But they know which one to go to. If we want to see an example of God in this world, a God of compassion, what we need to do is look at mama. What we need to do is look at the way mama takes care of her kids. And we see a picture of God. You know, in John 13, Jesus took that towel and that basin of water, and his disciples were there, and he got down and he washed their feet. He showed his love. He showed his compassion. And we have an example of that in the way our mamas take care of their kids. Mamas are compassionate. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything that there is. In 6 days, God creates it all. And what we see in Genesis 1, we talked about this a little bit last week. Genesis 1 shows us that God is a God of order. He sets things in order. In Genesis 1, in days 1 through 3, he creates the space. He creates the heavens in Genesis 1. And what's going to happen over in day 4, in day 1, he creates the heavens. And what he's going to do in day 4 is he's going to populate the heavens. You know, that's when he creates the sun and the moon and the stars, and he puts them up in the heavens. Right? Day 1... 2 and 3, he's creating the habitations. He creates the heavens. He creates the seas. He creates the dry land. He creates all this space in days 1, 2, and 3. And then he comes about in days 4, 5, and 6. And what he does is he populates. He puts the beasts where they go. He puts the fish where they go. He puts the birds where they go. He populates the heavens. He puts mankind here to rule it all. God is a God of order. You know, the creation week starts out in Genesis 1, verse 2. It is formless and void, it says. Formless and void. And days 1 through 3, God is giving it form. He creates the space. He's giving form to creation. Days 4, 5, and 6, he is populating things. He is overcoming the void. It's no longer void after the end of days 4, 5, and 6. He fills it up. God is a God of order. In our house, it's Mama who brings order to things. Right? If we didn't have Mama at home, our house would fall apart. Right? Mama is the one who knows where everything is, who knows what's supposed to happen during the day, who knows how to take care of all the little issues that come up. Mama is the one who takes care of us. She is the one who gives us order. You know, it's Mother's Day today, but mothers don't really get a chance to be off on Mother's Day because there are things that they can do that daddies can't do. You know, there is a fixing of the hair on Sunday mornings, you know, for the girls. There is fixing of the hair. Now, if daddy were in charge of that, We might not make it out the door, all right? We wouldn't want to be seen, I don't think. You know, there is the tying of the bow in the back. Even these simple things. You know how to tie a pair of shoes, but when it gets to the bow in the back of the dress, there is something mysterious about that where you have to do it just right, and I haven't learned it yet. But Mama knows how to do those things. Mama knows what we're supposed to eat when we're supposed to eat it. Mama knows how to go to the grocery store to buy things. Mama knows how to do all kinds of things that are just normal, everyday things, but somehow they escape daddy. But Mama knows how to do them. Mama brings order to our world. In that way, mothers are images of God for us. They show us what God is like. You know, in Proverbs 31, there's this picture of a woman in Proverbs 31. And this woman, the woman of valor, she gets up early in the morning. She starts work. This woman in Proverbs 31, she's got to make some clothes for a kid, and she's got to go out in the field and dig in the dirt and do some farming type things, and she's got to go do business in town. She's cooking for her family. She's doing work all day long, and she stays working into the night. It says, a woman of valor who can find? These are rare women. I guess I got lucky. I think that we see pictures of this type of woman around us more often than we might think. The job of Mama doesn't come to an end. I mean, in our house, again, all day long, you will hear one particular cry, and that cry is, Mama? Mama? All right? Mama, can I do this? Mama, can I do that? Mama, is it okay if we do this? Mama, can I have this? Mama, can I have a snack now? Mama, can I do this? I mean, you don't hear the cry of daddy all that much. All right? I think my kids like me, but they don't come to me for those types of things. They know mama is the one who makes these sorts of decisions. She's the one who knows what's going on. They cry for her all the time. What I understand is, we haven't experienced it yet, what I understand is this doesn't stop once the kid is out of the house, right? That even at when they move on, they're still calling, mama, I gotta pay taxes. How do you do that? All right, mama, I gotta make a doctor's appointment. How do you do this? Mama, I've got to pay a utility bill. What do I do? You know, guide me through the process of life, that this goes on. And when your kids have kids, I suppose, you know, I know we did this. Thought, mama, the kid won't stop crying. What do I do with it? You know, maybe you got to feed the thing, right? Mama, you know, there's a spot on the kid. What do I do with this? You know, you're calling up mama all the time. The job of mama never ends. And so we have around us examples of these Proverbs 31 types of women. And we are thankful for that, and we want to honor them. You know, Paul says in Romans 13:7, give honor to whom honor is due, and absolutely our mothers are those to whom honor is due. We celebrate this day not just because the United States government has decided this is going to be a holiday, and every second, what is it, every second May, every second Sunday in May, there's going to be a special day for mothers. I mean, we coincide it with that. We're celebrating, you know, to coincide it with that. But we don't do it just because the United States government has said that's a good time to do it. We want to give honor to our mamas because they are images of God for us. They show us examples of what God is like. And for that, we are thankful and appreciative, and we want to honor them. Now, you see all these flowers up here. These are carnations, and we want each mama to get a carnation. These are not carnations. Let me move those back. All right. We want each mama to get a carnation. So these guys are going to help me. So if y'all would, go ahead and come up. And if you are a mama, and would you just raise your hand? Would you help us out? And because these guys might not always be real sure if they need to hand you a flower or not, but they are going to hand flowers to all the mamas, right? So just let us honor you by handing you a carnation. And let me say as they're doing that I want to say thank you to a couple of mamas. Sonia Cox helped me with this a lot, and then especially Pam Thomas did a lot of the work, basically all of it, I think. So thank you very much, Sonia and Pam, for your help with this little project. And again, we thank you for being images of God for us. Motherhood oftentimes brings unexpected things. It's unpredictable, motherhood. Sometimes at the very beginning, it's unpredictable, and sometimes we do all kinds of things to prevent motherhood. You know, and some of us even go through operations, right, to prevent it. And then, you know, we've had examples in this congregation where the something unexpected takes place. Right? And so motherhood often is unexpected, and it reminds us that God is in control. And sometimes we go through all kinds of things, medical procedures to cause motherhood, and it just doesn't happen. Or it takes a long time. And sometimes when we've given up hope, maybe it's at that time that it happens. And the pregnancy happens, and we rejoice with that. Or maybe it just doesn't happen. Maybe it just never does happen. And it reminds us, again, God is in control of this. Motherhood is unpredictable in a lot of ways. Sometimes it brings unexpected joy. Motherhood, you know, Jesus says in John 16:21 that the pain of childbirth gives way. You forget about it when that baby is in your arms. That's what Jesus says in John 16:21. The joy that a baby has come into the world. You know, so there is unexpected joy in motherhood. And it continues on from that moment as you see your kids grow up. There's joy that comes from seeing them grow and mature. This past Thursday night, we were at Mars Hill for their kindergarten program. We were there to see Jack Robbins there and all the other little kids who were performing. And I know the performance gave us, Gallagher's, joy to see it. So I know Kathy was just joyful to see Jack's performance and the other kids. Jack was up there singing about his ABCs and doing his little dance, something along these lines. You know, it was really quite good. And I'm not as good at it as Jack is. So maybe if you're lucky, he'll do that dance for you. But that just gives us joy, seeing those things. And then as they grow on up and they become adults and they succeed in life, it gives us joy. Is there a mama that's been left out? Does every mama have a carnation? Okay. All right. Very good. There are times that motherhood brings us unexpected joy. There are times that motherhood brings us tremendous pain. And, you know, from sometimes very early in life to later on, you know, seeing the kids in pain, seeing the skinned knees to more serious issues. There are times that motherhood can bring pain. The truth of Proverbs 10:1. Sometimes comes home to us that a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. You know, sometimes that does come home to us in a special way, that truth. And sometimes motherhood comes with pain. And we acknowledge that on this day. And so it's because of that we especially want to honor you. Because you recognize that with the joy comes the pain, and yet you are faithful to this task. You continue to do it. Oh, I've already mentioned, you know, that there are some mamas who aren't faithful to their task. And I don't know about you. I don't know about your mama. And it might be when I'm talking about how wonderful mothers are that you're thinking about your mama and saying, well, she wasn't all that wonderful. I don't know. Maybe you have had a different experience than the one I've had, and there are those times out there where you can think, you know, mama wasn't all that great. You know, mama really didn't take care of us, or I didn't really know my mama at all. And so we acknowledge that that does happen. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 3, at the end of Mark 3, some people said to Jesus, you know, your mama and your brothers are outside waiting on you. And Jesus said, you know, Jesus looked around at the people around him, and he said, who are my mother and brothers and sisters? He said, the people who hear the word of God and do it. These are my brothers and sisters and mothers. And so I don't know about your own mother, but I do know that if you're in this group of God's people, that you can look around and you have all these examples of wonderful motherhood around us. And they are your brothers and sisters and mothers, because we're in the family of God together. Now, there are a few special mamas. All of mamas are special, all right? All of mamas are honorable and special. But there are a few particular ones, and I don't know exactly who they are, so I'm going to need your help. There are a few particular ones we want to honor. And Mark, if you would, go ahead and come. And they get... a rose, and we just want to acknowledge them today. If you are a new mother, so that this is your first Mother's Day to be a mama, I know we've got at least two in here. There might be some visitors I'm not sure about. But if you are a mom, would you go ahead and raise your hand? I know Mercedes very gently raised her hand. Christy is back here. Are there anyone else? Mercedes and Christy. Okay, new mamas, first Mother's Day. We want to honor you in a special way today. You have entered into this role of motherhood, and it's tough, and it gets tougher. Maybe there's a little bit more sleep involved, on down below. Oh, there's another. All right, yes, over here. Okay, very good. Thank you. And, you know, it's a hard job, but what we want to say is we are honored for you, and we want to honor you and encourage you in your faithfulness of your role as mother. It's going to be tough, but with the community of God with you and with God with you, the job can get done. We want to thank you for that. All right, another mother, and this is going to take some math, okay? We want to honor in a special way the mother who has been a mother for the longest time, okay? So think about how long you have been a mother, right? How long have you been a mother? Now, and then we're going to have to narrow this down, all right? So has anyone been a mother for 60 years? Raise your hand if you have been a mother for 60 years. We have some examples, all right? All right. Okay, anyone, we need to narrow it down, all right? So we've got a competition going. All right, yes. All right. Have you been a mother for 65 years? All right, we still got some. Are you still? Yes? Yes? All right, we still got some 60. Okay, have you been a mother for 70 years? Huh? We still got, okay, yes. Mother for 70 years? Is that the only, that's the only one I'm seeing. All right. You have? 65. Okay. Yes. All right. Very good. Okay. We want to congratulate a mother for 70 years. Outstanding. Thank you very much. All right. One more category. We've got a couple left. Okay. More math. Okay. Now, what we want to do is honor the mother who has the most number of descendants. All right, so what you got to do, this is, you might need a calculator, some of you, all right? You need to add up all your kids and all your grandkids and all your great-grandkids and your great-great-grandkids if you've got those, all right? So can you help me out? I mean, I don't know who it is, so add it all up. It might take some time. All right, anybody got, what, where should I start? Mike's saying 20. I'll go a little. Anybody got 15 descendants? How about that? 15 descendants. I don't. All right, we've got one. 15. Here's 15. We've got some 15 back there. Okay. Anybody? 16. You still at it? 16. We still 16. Okay. 17. All right. Good. 18. 19. 20. Have we still got, okay, 20, all right. We still got some. Okay, 21, 22, 23, 24. We still at 25? Good grief. All right. 25, we're still there. Going, okay, 26, 27, 28. You're out, you're still going. All right, 29. 30. 31. Y'all are still going. Okay, 30, 31? You still got? Are we still at? Yeah. All right, give these two ladies some roses. Too many descendants to count, I think. Is this one right here by Patty. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right here in the... Yeah. Well, we are very honored to have all of you with us, and we are happy to have this opportunity to honor these special ladies, but also all of the mothers. We just want to honor people who deserve honor, and we want to honor people who have been examples of faithfulness and endurance, perseverance, love, compassion for so many years. And we're thankful to you for that and honored that you're in our presence today. Mothers are pictures of God to us, and for that we are thankful. We were not some of those privileged few who were able to see Jesus in the flesh. You know, people who walked around and saw God in the flesh walking around 2,000 years ago, we all would have loved to have been able to be there, to sit at his feet, to see him, to listen to him, to touch him. We weren't some of the privileged few who saw Jesus in the flesh. But what we are is privileged to see these examples of what God in the flesh looks like. It looks like these mothers who have the character of God, and in their interactions with their kids, they show us the character of God. Mothers show us what self-emptying love looks like. God emptied himself to become a human being on our behalf. And where do we see examples of self-emptying love? We see it in our mothers. You know, Jesus said, here's the greatest commandment there is. Love God, and then the second is like it. It is love your neighbor. Paul says, if you want to do the law, Romans 13:9, you sum it up in this statement, love your neighbor. James says what the royal law is, James 2, the royal law is love your neighbor. And where do we get examples of what neighbor love looks like? Sacrificial love on behalf of others, we see it in our mothers and what they do on behalf of their children. And we are thankful to have these examples of God in the flesh sitting among us today. Thank you very much. The invitation of God is open to you. If you are not a child of God, you have the opportunity to have him as your father and, as we saw today, as your mother. That he will take care of you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will welcome you into his family. And you can do that by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will walk in newness of life. God will give you that new life, and he will be your divine parent. If you have done that, you haven't lived a life worthy of the calling that you've received, you have the opportunity now also to repent of that, to confess it, to ask for the prayers of this body of believers on your behalf, for your forgiveness, for your restoration. If you have any of these needs, we ask you to make those known now while we stand and sing.